I want to read just a couple of verses. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and that fools will despise wisdom and instruction. And that's really where he's setting forth what he is going to be proving throughout that whole 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. But if you go over to chapter 2, he is speaking again directly to his son in Proverbs chapter 2, and he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We are living in a time and we're living in an age where there has never been greater resources for raising children. I mean, you can get online and find as many websites as you have time to look for, and they will take you back to the scriptures and they'll give you great counsel. You can get online and buy stacks and stacks of books. You can get counseling. You can get parenting classes. You can get incredible amounts of training for raising of children. I was talking with my brother. He was on his way through this weekend to pick up his son down at Liberty, and he stopped and stayed over, and we were just reviewing a little bit of some of the practices that my dad had in training and nurturing us as boys, and we were kind of laughing together. But we admitted he did an awful lot of things right, and so did my mom. They made a lot of mistakes too, but probably not as many as we have as parents. And I said to him, I said, "Isn't it amazing that they were able to raise us the way that they did?" I mean, my dad didn't become a believer, I don't think, until my oldest sister was born. And yet he stepped up and did the best he knew how to train us and to nurture us as kids. And we were a rowdy brood, okay, to say it kindly, I guess. Mostly my siblings, but I was there too. And It was really interesting, though, because really he didn't have near the resources that we have. You know, Dr. Dobson was probably younger than my dad. And so till his expertise all came out, my parents were pretty well through the parenting stuff, at least in those early years. But you know, my dad did have a resource, and it was God's Word. And I'm not saying don't look to the other resources, but be aware that God's Word is the core. It's the primary resource that we have. I've told young parents before, I said, we discipline children as parents because we're instructed to do that. But the reason we discipline children is so that our children can learn self-discipline. And we want them to learn self-discipline so they can avoid what it talks about in Hebrews chapter 13 of divine discipline. And we're instructed to train up our children in the way they should go. And as we do that, they will follow that path and they will follow that pattern. What an incredible responsibility. It's a responsibility for parents. It's a responsibility for extended family. But it's also a responsibility that's given to the church. And John Lauver is going to come up and speak on that a little bit later in the service. Right now, what I'd like to do is give you a little introduction of how we do our family dedications. Sometimes we refer to it as a baby dedication, sometimes a child dedication. But at the center of it, it is more than that. It is a family dedication. In that it is a covenant between parents and God, and there's a third partner in the covenant, and that's the body of Christ. And it's important for you to grasp and to understand this, not just if you're bringing your children up this morning, but as a church, we have a responsibility to stand with and encourage and pray for and help these families and the training and the nurturing of their children. I don't know how we would have made it raising our children without the body of Christ. And I know that most of you would testify to that very same thing. what we like to do, or I guess I could say I, since I kind of have been doing this for a few years, but what I like to do in a dedication service is we will invite the families up one at a time, and if your family is one of them that's dedicating children this morning, come up in the order that it's printed in your bulletin as I call you up, and you'll see the pictures coming up on the screen of the families. Some of these families have been in our church and grown up in our church. Others of these families are fairly new to our church. And so what I will do is I'll try to introduce them to you and get all their names correct and let you know who they are. And we send out a questionnaire for our families. They fill out in that questionnaire what their child's name is, their birth date, their family verse, some characteristics about their children, and just some special things that they would want shared with you as a church family. And so I'll share those things with you, and then we will have prayer for these families one at a time. We have a gift for them and a certificate that we will give them. And I'd like to begin this morning with the Taylor family, Jared and Tanisha. And you're welcome to bring all the children up, bring your family up with you if you'd like to. Jared and Tanisha have four children. Maddox is the one that will be dedicated to the Lord this morning. His name is Maddox Joel, and he was born on March the 3rd a year ago. McKinley, Grayson, and Emerson are the other three of the tribe. And this family has chosen as their family verse out of two verses, actually, out of Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, where Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And then Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Maddox is a wonderful addition to their family, as they have shared with us. He has been a calm and a pleasant baby from the very beginning, and he has a go-with-the-flow, laid-back personality. Now, if you're the fourth child in a family, you know what that's like. And so he fits right in that way. He adores his siblings. He's especially fond of his big brother. He enjoys all the entertainment that they provide. For the most part, he's very patient, as they want to hold him and carry him when he just wants to sit and play. But now he's on the go, he's crawling, he's a very busy and inquisitive young boy, and into exploring everything. And he can get, exploring everything he can get his hands on. They say their home would not be the same without his constant smiles and giggles. One of the important questions that we ask each couple is, why are you dedicating your child? And I really appreciate what they share here. They said, "We would like to publicly dedicate him this morning because it's our deepest desire to see our children grow to love and follow the Lord. We're committed as parents to doing the best job we can to lead them in that direction, and we would like to be held accountable by our family, by our friends, as we parent our children so that we do not lose focus of the desire or get distracted by other facets of life, but rather that keep our eyes on the Lord as we learn and grow as parents, and our hearts grow as parents and in our hearts in the Word as we seek guidance and advice as we parent them." They said, "We covet your prayers as we continue in parenting in this journey with our four children. We're so thankful for the mentors that the Lord has already placed in our lives and have taught us so much about navigating life and studying the Word of God, as well as parenting the way that God would have us to do it. We are also thankful for our church family that offers constant support, and we are beyond thankful for these four blessings and this responsibility that God has given us." We have a children's Bible for you guys, and there's a certificate there as well. Will he let me hold him? We can try. You want to come see me, Maddox? How are you, bud? How are you doing? I'm going to ask you guys to turn around and just look at your wonderful picture on the screen for a minute. This is something else I love to do when we're... Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Here's Mama. It's okay. There we go. That was short-lived. That's all right. I get that a lot. One of the things we like to do is we like to ask if there are individuals within the church family that would commit to praying for this family. And you can let them know if you would like to. And I ask them just to turn around so that if many of you are doing it and you just are going to do it in private, you are welcome to do that. But prayer is so important in the training of children. We still have families praying for us and for our children that committed to that at the dedication of our children years and years ago. And if you would be willing to do that, would you just stick your hand up high so I can see it here? So many of you, thank you so much. If you guys want to turn around, I'd love to have prayer with you guys, and you hold your own baby. How's that? Our Lord and our God, this family has shown their heart and their love and their desire to serve you and to be faithful to you. We commit them to you, each of their children. But this morning especially, we commit Maddox to you. And I pray that his life would be a reflection of his middle name, where he knows and understands that Jehovah is the Lord. And that he would come to know you early in life, that he would pursue you with all of his heart. I pray for Jared and Tanisha that they would have wisdom, that they would have patience, that they would have diligence. There are so many decisions made in parenting from day to day. There are the big ones and also the little ones that just seem at the time very insignificant. But I pray you'd give them wisdom. Give them unity as a couple and allow them just to raise this family and to raise this young man in a way that's honoring to you. Thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Some of you know this couple. There you are. I have known John since, really early. Jody and I have been friends with his parents since before he was born. And I have known Mandy since high school. And she was in the youth group at the church that we were at. And Jody can remember giving her rides home from youth group from time to time and just getting to know them. And God in his timing has been so perfect in blessing them with Delaney Kendall. And you guys have walked through and prayed through this journey with them as a church family. And let me just read some of the things that they've shared. They have chosen Colossians 3:2 as their family verse, which says, "Set your mind on things above and not on things that are on the earth." Delaney's full of joy. It's modeled after the time spent with her mom. And she's nosy. They wrote this, I didn't, and that's modeled after Dad. She's a multiple sneezer, aren't you? Just like Mom. She likes to watch Mommy do various tasks around the house, loves when she sings to her songs and reads her books. She always smiles when Daddy comes home. She loves to snuggle and loves to give cheesy little smiles and sometimes just shows a bashful smile. She also loves when she can get her toes in her mouth, just like Dad. It doesn't say that here. I added that. They'd like to dedicate Delaney this morning because God has entrusted them to train and to rear her as a special blessing. They want to teach her the love of God, to fear Him. They know they can't do this on their own, and they desire the help of the Lord, but they also desire your help. Of special significance, they think that most of the congregation knows this, but they struggled for many, many years with infertility, and they were blessed with Delaney through embryo adoption. They are in contact with her genetic parents, and I'm sure they'll get some pictures of this morning as well. They're constantly giving them updates. It's a joy to have this story and this amazing testimony of God's goodness, faithfulness, and love. Delaney is the last name of her genetic parents, and they wanted to name her in honor of that gift. Her middle name, Kendall, is in memory of Kendall Marie, who was a NICU baby that John and Mandy were hoping to adopt back in 2009. And Kendall Marie is now in the hands of Jesus. Do you want to share anything? You good? He'll get to share later. I'll give you guys this. Can I hold you this morning? We'll see how this goes.
I only drop babies twice doing this. If you guys want to turn around just for a second, how many of you would commit to praying for this family and for this little one? Thank you so much. That's an incredible commitment. I appreciate that. Guys? The miracle of life, Father, is something that we are in awe of. But even more than that, we are in awe of you as the Creator. Your faithfulness, your creativity, your awesome power is beyond what we can comprehend. And your gift to John and Mandy is above and beyond what we could ask or think. Thank you for Delaney. Take the life of this little girl as she is being trained and nurtured. Give her an ability to memorize Scripture, Father, that she could just hide your word in her heart, that she would not sin against you. Help her to grow in purity and in holiness, to come to faith early in life. Help her, Father, to be just a shining example of your grace and of your mercy. Be with John and Mandy. It's a difficult challenge raising children in a ministry position. And I pray that you'd give them just patience and wisdom. Give them discernment to know when to just get away for a little while. Give them wisdom to know how to discipline and how to correct and how to encourage. Give them great counselors. And allow this family, Father, just to be an incredible blessing for the sake of your work, of your kingdom in this body of believers. Thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah, come on up. These are the Southers. Have you met them yet? Introduce yourselves. The Southers. This is Michael and Maria and Maria's brother.
Mitchell.
Sam. This is Mitchell. Oh, what did I say? Did I say Michael? Michael's a good name. It's a strong name, but I like Mitchell better. Okay. And they are going to dedicate Theodore Benjamin to the Lord. And this is Matthias. Right? I love that name. I love that name. Theodore was born on July 4th, and so he's not yet at a year. And we are just thrilled, and we have invited Sam to come up as a very close and special family member to contribute in our prayer time together with them. And they have just a very deep relationship and have asked him to help them as parents to be accountable in raising and training these children. They have chosen a passage of Scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 3. And 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I know that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, it begins by saying, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you," it sounds like a pretty tough passage for baby dedication up to this point. It's just talking about all of the things that we face in this world. And then it goes on and it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
And then a very familiar verse, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Theodore is observant, and again, their words, he's goofy. He's very smiley, he's fun-loving, a little bit stubborn, but pretty much a happy baby. They wanted to dedicate him today because they desire always to be held accountable to teach and to raise our children in the Lord and to publicly make it known that their family is going to follow Christ and stand with him. These guys have been coming to the church, I think, since just before Christmas, isn't it? Since last fall, and they were sharing with me this week that they're just glad that they can make this their church home, and we're thrilled to be part of this with you guys in your family. I'm going to ask you guys to turn around just for a moment, if you would, and you can look if you want. How many of you would commit yourselves to praying for this other's family and for Theodore? Thank you so much, guys. What a blessing it is. If you want to turn back around, would you like to pray for them, and then I'll pray for them, okay?
Theodore, and we ask that you would give us the strength and the wisdom to bring him up to be the man that you have planned for him to be. We ask that you would keep him healthy, Lord, keep him strong, and it's in your name we pray.
Thank you, Lord God, for a young family with a heart for you. I pray that you would shower upon them incredible wisdom and strength as they're raising these children. Be with Theodore as he grows. Help him to have a hunger for your word that's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. Help him to see your word, even as their family verse explains, as God breathed and from the very heart of God, and that he would trust it and that he would grow to know you. I pray that as parents that they would use their years with him just to nurture and to train him. Thank you for your faithful. We commit this family to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. God bless you guys. I'm going to invite the Zells to come up. I think, yeah, we have the Zells next. Eliana May, affectionately known as Ella May. She was named after her grandmother. And Ken and Ella May have been a huge part of this church for years, the grandparents, as missionaries in South America, and even in recent years as Ken has served in leadership and Ella May had served on the missions committee. And Ella May is home with Jesus now. And so they have chosen to name this precious little one after Grandma. And she was born on the 19th of September and of 2017. Anthony and Jody are the parents, and this is the gang. And I love this family to death, just watching God at work in their hearts and in their lives. They've chosen Deuteronomy chapter 5, very familiar passage. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And then in 2 Corinthians and chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Ella May, you call her Ella, don't you?
Ellie.
Ellie, okay. Ellie is content, she's jolly, she loves to chuckle, and usually has a smile for anyone who will talk to her. but especially if any of her family stop and talk to her. She's laid back. She likes to just watch everything happening around her or go wherever everyone else goes. She sleeps and eats in between everyone else's activities or on the run. She's curious and determined. She's good at entertaining herself and whatever she finds and with whatever she finds and will work pretty hard to reach something if she finds it interesting. Anthony and Jody desire to dedicate her this morning because they want to raise their children for Christ, and it's a bigger job than we are capable of. It takes more commitment, more grit, more patience, more wisdom, more humility and perseverance than we can muster in our own strength, even on our best days. They say that we recognize our complete dependence on God and are wholeheartedly seeking His provision for all that we need and His sustaining grace to keep us seeking His provision. We use this time to step out of our crazy life for just a moment and refocus on the things above, the eternal focus of raising children for the kingdom of God. We pray our hearts and our minds will not be distracted by our temporal goals, our temporal desires, or obstacles. We also know how much we need the church, the body of Christ, for encouragement, for prayer, and to come alongside us in countless ways. Lebanon Valley Church has been an incredible support system for us over the past few years, and we want to thank you for standing with us and helping us. And we count it such an incredible blessing and an incredible privilege to be a part of your lives. That's not for you, that's for me. But you can take it. Can I hold you? I'll bet lots of people get to hold you, don't they? Can I have a little bit of time with these guys just for a minute? Who would pray for this family? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Can we pray for you? You can turn around, guys. Your grace is beyond measure. We give you praise for the way that you bless, the way that you're blessing this family. I pray for this little one, that her heart would be sensitive to you and to others, that she would love you and love others. I pray that she would have a upward focus in her life where she's seeking you and seeking your face every day. Help her as she's nurtured, as she grows, as she's trained, as she's educated. Help her to have a hunger for your word and a hunger to serve others. Use her and use this family for amazing things in your kingdom, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. This next young fella, his name is Remington. Remington Blanchard. It's Aaron and Ricky's. One, two, is this number three? Oh, I thought there was four. Okay, this is number four. Riley, Colton, and Piper are the siblings. How are you guys doing? I love your tie. This is blue shirt, yellow tie day. Right? All right. Their family verse that they've chosen is out of the book of Joshua, where it says, And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that they served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then it says, but as for me, that's not your verse? That is your verse. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you have another verse in mind? That's okay. Remy is a smiley, a vocal baby. He loves to give wet kisses. Do you get wet kisses? Do you like them? You do. Oh, I don't like wet kisses. They're dedicating him this morning because they desire put him before the Lord, understanding he is a gift that God has entrusted to them. And they would like to publicly commit that they are going to raise him to honor the Lord and to acknowledge God's will for his life and lead him to find that and to understand that. And we feel really blessed and really honored to have you guys as part of our church family and to be able to have a part in this. And it's just been really a joy to watch God working in your hearts and your lives and in your family over the last few years.
I wonder if you'd just turn just for a minute. Will he let me hold him? Give me that. Who would pray for this family? Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Father, take this young man. Allow him to grow to serve you with his life. I pray that you would use him to bring others to yourself. I pray that his personality, that his character, and that his heart would grow in a way that reflects your greatness and your love. I pray that he would trust you, even as a child, that he would have a hunger to know you and to know your word. I pray that you would be honored through this family. Help us as a church as we rally around this family, as we encourage them, as we pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we go back here? You guys want to come with me and we'll go get a gift for you, okay? I'll give this one to you and then you can take this one. Would that be okay? There you go. It's just a card. But you can look at that one too, okay? All right. God bless you guys. Oh, the Brossmans. This is Willow Quinn Brossman. Josh and Amy Brossman are bringing her. Her sister's name is Zoe. I love the verses that you guys have chosen from Psalm 91. Verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Willow was born on the 16th of August, and she's got a birthday coming up. Oh, you're just precious, aren't you? And she reminds me a lot of my granddaughter. Oh, my goodness. She loves to be held. She smiles very easily. She is destined to be a people person. She tries to make eye contact and talk to everyone who is near her. She has a little bit of a temper, and we're not going to ask where it comes from. I knew that. I wasn't thinking of you. It's got to be Grandpa. I knew that within the first couple of days of her life, she knows exactly what she wants, and she'll let you know what that is. They want to dedicate her this morning because they desire for her to grow up with the knowledge that she belongs to God and that He loves her more than we do as parents. We hope and pray that she will develop a personal relationship with Him and understand who He is. And they also want to publicly proclaim that they are going to do their best to raise her to know Christ. Willow is the only name that Josh and Amy could agree on, it says. But also it's a name that reminds them of Amy's dad, who died several years ago in 2011. He had a passion for botany and wanted a plant of a weeping cherry, which is a kind of like a willow tree, in their yard. He just never quite got around to getting it planted, and there's little pieces of him within her, and her name reminds them of that. Would you like to hold this? Can you do that? Thank you. Can I hold Willow? Can I hold you? You guys want to turn around just for a minute? Who would pray for this family and for Willow? Thank you, so many of you. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Guys, you can turn back around if you want. I pray, Father, for this family. What a joy it is to see them following you. And I just pray for Willow that her heart and her life would be so sensitive to spiritual things. I pray that you would use her in a mighty way, in a powerful way, to bring glory to yourself. I pray that her little life would just be protected and guarded by you. And even with some of the medical concerns that they've had early in her life, I pray that you would just show yourself strong and mighty, even in the midst, that it would be a way of her and her family just learning to trust you through each and every part. I pray that she would come to faith early in her life. You would keep her pure and holy and be able to be used in mighty ways for you. Thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Todd and Beth. Yeah, present. I didn't even preach much, and this one fell asleep. They would like to dedicate both of their children, Vivian and Lucy. It's Vivian Sue. She was born on January 10th, and Lucy Jane was born on September 6th. Have I got them in the right order?
Yeah, she was born in May.
She was born in May.
And she's September.
And she's September. Okay. Is it May 10th? May 17th, okay, and?
She's September
2nd. September 2nd, okay, we got that now. Their family verses are taken out of Proverbs chapter 31, where it says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Vivi is a free spirit, strong-willed, fiercely independent, energetic, and a kind little girl. She loves to be outside no matter the temperature. She loves to visit with family, sing at the top of her lungs, color, and be anywhere that her dad is. And Lucy is curious and content, sweet and a sweet and happy baby, and loves to swing and zoom around in her walker and be held by her mom at all times. So it sounds like I may be limited here. they want to dedicate their children this morning. They say, we as Vivian and Lucy's parents want to bring our children before the church and dedicate them to the Lord before our sisters and brothers in Christ. And we covet your prayers and support and guidance with raising our children. Our girls are the most precious gift from God, and we are humbled that He chose us to give them love and to rear them in the way of Christ. In case anyone's wondering, they said one of Beth's favorite TV shows is I Love Lucy. And she hopes that her girls are as close as Vivian Vance and Lucille Ball were. Okay? And they're going to be...
minus the shenanigans.
Oh, I was going to say they're going to be pressing wine after the service out in the vat in the parking lot. That's great. That is great. It is really exciting to see you guys as a family and just how God has blessed you. And, you know, God has got such incredible things in store for you going forward. God bless you as you raise girls. God knew I could only handle one, so He gave me three boys to go along with our daughter. Let me pray for you guys. I pray for the Leitner family, Father, for Todd and for Beth. And I pray for these girls, for Viv and for Lucy. And I pray that your grace would shine upon this home and upon this family in just incredible ways. That as parents, they would have great wisdom. That as they face the challenges of life, that they would navigate through them by seeking your face, by studying your word, and by trusting your Holy Spirit in their lives. I pray that these girls would grow up just with a heart for you, and that their lives would just be a blessing to everyone they come in contact with. May your grace abound in this family and on this home in amazing ways in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around just for a minute if you would. How many of you would pray for this family? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor John.
Cut this short. This is where I know some of you are itching to get to Sunday school. Kids might be itching to get out of here. What I wanted to do was just take some time to give a challenge to two groups of people that are here this morning. But I also want to remind you what Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so what I'm going to say here this morning, if you don't have a proper understanding, a proper fear of the Lord, it's not going to make sense to you. It's not going to matter. And so I want you just to understand the fear of the Lord is twofold. It's first of all recognizing that He alone controls our eternal destiny. He's a sovereign God that can determine if we will go to heaven or hell. And that determination is actually a choice of ours based on what we do with Jesus Christ. So that's the first part of the fear of the Lord. The second part is that for a Christian, someone who believes in Jesus Christ, the fear of the Lord is a reverence or an awe of who He is, how awesome He is. It means that you want to pursue Him and His righteousness is found in His Word. You want to walk in His ways. And Pastor Chan alluded to that for parents. And so I want to challenge two groups of people. First, the challenge to the parents that are in here, those who dedicated today. But also, I know there's still a lot of you parents that are raising kids right now. And it's also a challenge to me. If you didn't gather that, I'm a pretty new dad myself. And so I have to humbly say, I don't really know what I'm doing quite yet. So I need help. And then also, I want to, why I want to do that is because I want to hopefully, as a pastor, humbly set an example for the other parents. But also, I think of these teens that are up here that will be having children. Some of them maybe in the next, it's hard to believe it, guys, really. Like maybe in like 4 or 5 years, some of you will be parents. So that they even see what's going on. But then I also want to have a challenge to the rest of y'all in here this morning. I did say y'all, so that's everybody that's gathered in here. So I first want to start off with the challenge to the parents and say that we as parents, we can't do this on our own. It's absolutely impossible for us to do it on our own. I stand before you this morning, as I already said, realizing I really don't know what I'm doing yet. As less than 5 months into this whole fatherhood, but I would say it's a great joy, a blessing so far. And so we can't go this road alone. We need wisdom and we need the advice of others. Proverbs 13:10 says, "By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom." And see, as parents, we need wisdom. A lot of us parents in here, especially the ones dedicating today, are what our society terms millennials. And we as millennials, we like to just go, as Pastor Chan said, we go to the internet, we go to the bookstore, we become our own authority. But we don't see that in Scripture, that we become our own authority. We're supposed to get our authority from Jesus Christ, from God's Word, but also wisdom from those who've walked this road. Wisdom from those who are older than us. Wisdom from parents who've already raised their children. Parents that have raised their children well that are now walking with the Lord. And so we need friends. Proverbs 27:10 says, "Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away." And some of us, like myself, we don't have our family living right here. We don't have our family coming to this church. The bulk of my family is an hour away. And so for me to go to them every single time, it's tough. But guess what? Right here in this room, those of you who regularly gather here, you can be friends of mine. We can be friends. We see each other on a regular basis. And so the best place to get friends for you parents, for me, is right in this room. We need to find friends. We need to build relationships with those in this church. I'll never forget when I was a senior in high school, my youth pastor, who was also my best man, Joel Snyder, he told me, he said, "John, you have a lot of friends in high school right now. You know everyone in your class. You're well-liked." But he said, "Guess what? When you graduate," he said, "you're not going to see any of those people anymore. You'll be fortunate if you see just a couple of them on a regular basis." He said, "Your friends are going to be those you go to church with." And I can say that that's absolutely true. When I think of my friends now, I don't think of the people I went to high school with. I think mostly of you all. I think of the people that I grew up with that still attend Richfield Life Ministries Church where I grew up at. Those were my true friends. And so we need to build relationships with those in the church. We as parents need to give the people in the church permission to tell us when we're not doing things correctly. We have to humble ourselves. We need to listen to Proverbs 12:15, which says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." And so the challenge to the rest of y'all then, so that's the challenge of the parents, the challenge to the rest of everyone else in here, I want to ask you just a rhetorical question. If you went to a doctor and you had a sickness that was going to kill you, and there was a cure, an absolute cure. It's a painful cure, but there's a cure. Would you want the doctor to just smile and act like everything is great? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Your health is good. Or would you want that doctor to be honest with you and tell you, hey, this is a problem, but this is how you can fix it? I think unless you're insane, you would say, I'll take the cure. I want the solution. I want someone to be honest with you, with me. I want someone to save my life. I'm pretty sure you want the truth in that case from your doctor. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, "Better is open rebuke than forbidden love." I'm sorry, than hidden love. "Faithful are the words of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." The parents that you see in here this morning, myself included, we need friends. We need true friends. We need true friends who will not smile at us as though everything is well and then talk about us behind our backs. Say, huh, you see what they're doing with their kids? They're really messing up. Huh. You know, no, we need honesty. We parents need you to build relationships with us, to put you in a position to rebuke us, to guide us, to direct us. It takes that proximity. We need to get together. As a church, we have to come together, build relationships so that we can have that open rebuke. But I also warn you that the Bible also says that we need to remember to be careful with this rebuke. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So I want to encourage you, church, as you see us parents failing sometimes miserably, to be honest with us, but be gentle. Guide us, direct us. We need help. As one of your pastors, I'm asking that you do this for me. I know it's probably been some time, maybe, I don't know if there's ever been a pastor in this church who had a newborn child. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it's been a while. And I want to humbly tell you that I give you permission to come talk to me. I'm not above reproach. I really desire that. And I want the rest of the young parents in here as well to know that we need to humble ourselves so we can be the best parents that we can be, so that our kids will learn to love the Lord, to fear the Lord. I want you to point out my flaws and, like I said, not talk about me behind my back. I know that often happens to pastors, that happens. And that my kids are going to be raised in a glass house. Everybody's going to know what my kids are doing. And that's a kind of a challenge to me. A scary challenge, not an easy challenge. To know that my kids are going to be under the microscope. They're going to be an example of other kids. And so I need your help. So please help us parents in our journey so we can raise this next generation to be better than what you were, to be better than what we are. To follow the Lord, to love the Lord at an even greater level. But I want you to remember, though, that this is only possible, again, if we have a proper understanding of the fear and reverence of God, who He is, how much He loves us. And at that point, then all of a sudden, His precepts, His laws, His commands, His encouragement, His guidance we find in His Word, all of a sudden, we'll want to follow it. We'll desire to follow after His word and put them in place. This will motivate us to follow His way. We're going to close this morning with the song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Praise team can come up a while. But one final thought I wanted to end here with was that Pastor Chan and I talked about this week, how so often, we as sinful humans, our view of God the Father is very much influenced by our view of our earthly father. And I want to tell you, my dad's in here this morning. It's not Father's Day, but I want to tell you that I love my dad. My dad, though, I would say he would admit this too, he's not perfect. I think you dads in here would say, we're not perfect. I think each one of you have a dad, and your dad's not perfect. Some of you have had horrible dads, maybe dads who walked out on you, dads who didn't show you proper love, dads who have created a flawed image of God the Father, and you think, how can any God ever love me? How can a heavenly father ever love me when my earthly father did what he did? And I know this is part of my own wife and my brother-in-law's testimony, and specifically my wife, when she trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, it's through a time when she was in youth group and she heard about our heavenly father, and that even though her earthly father had walked out on her, that God, our heavenly father, will never leave us, will never forsake us. He'll be with us even to the end of the age. And that's how much God loves you. If you're here this morning and you don't understand what God's love is like, I want to encourage you, don't leave here this morning without making a decision to follow after Jesus Christ, that you can have that connection with him. It's not about going to church. It's not about saying a certain prayer, saying the right words. It's Romans 10:9 says that we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. It's that simple, and it will change your life. I'm going to pray and have you stand. We're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love. Stand with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this great occasion to celebrate children, to dedicate children. God, I thank you for our mothers. I thank you for the fact that each one of them chose to bear us, chose to give us life. I pray that today we would honor our mothers, but that, Lord, we would also recognize our standing before you. That if there's anyone in here this morning who hasn't trusted you as their Lord and Savior, they would make that decision today. I also pray for these parents and for this church that we would come together as a body and help each other out to raise these little ones, to raise these kids to love you and fear you and know how deep your love is for us. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.